Hello and welcome to the 24th Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave,
hi everyone,
are joined by a selection of pre-recorded audio.
Wonderful.
Well, Dave, we've got no guests as such this week, have we?
No, basically, no one likes us anymore, so...
Well, it's getting to that end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah.
People aren't returning your calls, they've read your reports, they're already offended.
I've managed to annoy so many people, so, you know,
hey-ho. But fear not, there is tons of stuff to break up the monotony of us two, including reaction to the Isle of Man's impressive win over Brentford B and Peel's FA Cup success. Right, we'll start with the former game, Dave. A rain-lashed bowl on Wednesday evening. It was a very impressive performance by the men in their 5-3 victory over Brentford B. I can't state how, you know, people might have seen my report in the Courier or online, how good a game the Isle of Man played on Wednesday, Dave. It's the best I've seen them play live.
I'm gutted I missed it, to be honest. And by all accounts, yeah, they did fantastically well. As you alluded to in your report, Jonesy, he said it was the best him and Lee Dixon had seen as well, which is a hell of a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah, it being as a player or a coach, so that's something, you know, the players that have been involved in Guinness Cup victories and of course been away and played, represented England in the UEFA regions and stuff like that. So that is a very impressive compliment to be paid. But they were very good. Brentford, let's just point out, were no mugs. They have tons of age group internationals. I think I went through the squad. I think 8 of the starting 11 have played for their country at under-19 level or below.
Yeah.
They've got some decent players. Their skipper, Ali Coote, who scored an absolute stunner in the second half. He played for Dundee United. He's won.
Yeah.
He's played Scottish Championship football, Scottish Premiership football.
So you mentioned there was a former Chelsea youngster in the
Calder Silva. He was like a rocket down the right. He was a very good player as well. And they were hurting. I spoke to their, as you'll hear in a minute, I spoke to Lars Friis, their coach, after the game, and he wasn't overly pleased with that result.
This is a team that, as you said, beat Bayern Munich's youngsters back in January.
If you look at their, go onto their website and just look at the teams they've played this season, in the last month alone, they've played teams from Poland, Genoa in Italy, and again, you know, it's not their first teams, but it's they're either their B team or their academy teams, and they've won most of these games. They won the Middlesex Cup, which is Middlesex FA Cup recently, the big a non-league side, and that 4-0.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, that's a sort of, Friis said that was the sort of level of opposition he was expecting this week. But we played them off, scored 4-5 goals. You know,
it's ridiculous.
I know one of them was a penalty, but and it was almost an own goal. But the boys did, you know, they deserved it.
You've said, I know I've read your report, who stood out for you? Because a lot of the youngsters shone, didn't they?
The youngsters were unbelievable, really. They came into that game, you know, first time they played at that level, and none of them looked out of place. Jacob Crook thrown in at left full back after injury to Matty Woods in the FA Cup final. He was excellent in the first half. You know, obviously Douglas Royley tends to play a bit further forward, but he's playing full back on Wednesday night, and he just looked totally at home. He came off after half time, and they brought Lewis Brighton on it again. He's probably been one of my best players of the year.
Yeah, I agree with you there, yeah.
He was unbelievable as well, getting forward, getting back. He just did what Lewis does, rolled the sleeves up and got on with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But then Jonesy emptied the bench, Jack Kamada came on, Jay Skelton Maxwell came on, Joel Ibanez came on, Luke Murray came on. They all had it. So that's 6 18-year-olds, under-18s, which is unbelievable.
It bodes so well for the future, doesn't it?
And as we'll hear from Paul in a minute, he now has a selection headache of a nice kind ahead of the Inter-Island games, because of course the squad was missing several regulars on the weekend. No Lee Gale, no Sam Kane, no Sean Doyle was away on holiday. Josh Thomas is now left for Dubai.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, 5-6 names that you'd think would be in that mix
weren't
available. So he's got a bit of a head scratcher ahead of Anglesey in June. So we'll have a listen to what the two managers had to say for now. Starting with quite an emotional Paul Jones after this. You know, this is sort of the fruition of all his hard work today. So we'll have a listen to what he has to say first, and then we'll speak into a slightly less pleased Lars Friis after that. Paul Jones, manager of the Isle of Man side that's just beaten full-time Brentford B 5-3. I'm beaming, so you must be even more so after that.
Yeah, I just said to the lads, I'm a little bit emotional. You know, you put...
It's not just me then.
No, I am a little bit emotional. It's, I don't know, like, we played well against Connorskey in the summer, and it's almost like every game we've been building, and we kind of know the lads are capable of those sort of performances. But you know, to see them do it and to see them take the opportunities that put in front of them from the playing standard point of view and rise to the challenge was just, it's like I say, it's really emotional, because you kind of, you say to them you believe in them and you say to them that they're capable of it, but until they go and do it themselves, they don't really know. And I think, I hope a lot of them have looked at it and gone, wow,
yeah,
we're not bad. And and they don't rest on their laurels, but they go, wow, imagine how good we could be.
Well, to be honest, before we started recording, I said that's probably the best Ireland performance I've seen in live, and it was from front to back. Every player that was involved tonight, I thought, was superb.
Yeah.
Tactically, as well as what they were doing individually, they all worked to a shape. I presume you changed things slightly in the second half, didn't you? But everything worked to a T, really, didn't it?
Yeah, they were. I mean, they were great. As I think I said on the podcast, yeah. What am I looking for? Burnsy asked me when we were doing a little interview what success, and a part of it was just playing to the shape and playing to how we wanted to play and the structure we wanted to play and commit to it, and they did that and they were brilliant. And regardless of whether we won or lost, that performance was a success. The fact that we've gone and scored 5 goals past the pro side, I don't know when we've ever done that before. Usually, like Dicko just said, and I said as well, it's the best performance we've ever been involved in with the Manx team as players or coaches. And usually when we've won a game or we've drawn a game, we've had to dig out, we've had to dig a result out, we've probably had 10% possession. We've gone and stood toe-to-toe, and that's one of the things we said when we took over the roles, was we're not just wanting to turn up against really good sides and dig out a performance and just defend in our half and nick one on the counter-attack. We wanted to get up the pitch, we want to have a bit of possession, we want to show that we can play a little bit at this level. And today, you kind of had the feeling at Wolves it was coming. Derry was very different for different reasons. But today, oh my God, it was... Yeah, I don't know. I hope a lot of people watched it on the Brentford YouTube live channel, because they didn't come here to watch it themselves. And I'm really disappointed that the lads, again, have put an amazing performance in and barely anyone from the Isle of Man saw it. Hopefully next time more people come and watch them, because they deserve it. They were absolutely incredible, every single one of them. We ended the game with 5 under-18s playing.
Yeah.
6-7 under-21s.
Yeah.
And they managed to hold out against a full-time pro club with an Icelandic international playing and 5 under-21 internationals playing.
Well, I'm just going to say it was a night of many positives, but the youngsters, which you've thrown in to give a chance today ahead of Anglesey, they all stood up to it to a man, didn't they? Jacob Crook, I thought, had a tremendous first half. He didn't look out of place at all, even playing at slightly out of position at left back rather than his left wing as usual.
Yeah.
And then replaced by Lewin Ryerson again, just looked like he'd been there all his life.
And that's always, I met the Brentford guys for a coffee earlier today, and I was mentioning that we had a few young ones playing or in the squad. And I was like, the one thing I'm really beginning to understand is that they play with no fear, but the only ceiling that they have and the only kind of barrier is whatever the coach puts in front of them. It's like, if I tell them they're going to struggle, then they're going to struggle. Whereas if I say, go and see what you can do, then usually they rise to the challenge. And they were all brilliant. Yeah, we got a bit ragged at times because they've just not played anywhere close to that level before. And it didn't matter that we got ragged. What mattered is that we didn't concede, or we didn't concede too many chances, and we still kind of put pressure on them, and that happened. And as you can tell, I'm rambling on a little bit more than usual, but mainly because I'm so excited and I just can't quite get my head around how good we were at times.
Well, when the emotion does down a bit and you've got you've had, I think, 21, 22 lads play tonight that were all put in a shift, and then you've got another half a dozen or so we mentioned on the podcast regulars that could come back into this thinking.
Think that, without a Lee Gale, without a Chris Bastunia, without a Sam Kane, Woodsy obviously got injured on Saturday, and that enabled Jacob Krupp to play. Josh Thomas has now left the Isle of Man. And there's a few more that you can add to the list, who I'm very sorry, names escape me at the minute, but we just said in there, we feel we've got 30 players that could go and do, this could be the start of something quite special.
That's what it felt like to me tonight. It was, we've talked in the past about the changing of the guard, And tonight's team was probably unrecognisable to the one that won gold a couple of years ago. There'll be a few, obviously Frank and Jack and that, but it felt like a change in the guard tonight.
Kind of, and a bit
of a watershed performance in that regard.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, some of the younger players really, not necessarily the ones who came on from the bench, but you even think of Reece Oates, Danny Simpson, Steve Whitley.
Yeah.
You know, we said to him at half-time, that's the best we've ever seen him play, because he didn't just do the good stuff on the ball, he also did the hard work off it, which maybe he doesn't do on a Saturday quite so much. You know, everybody, Al Maitland showed us exactly what a good player he is and why we think so highly of him. It's not just those young ones. Those young ones are probably a year or two away, but the ones who in maybe everybody's minds weren't starters, or maybe why are they in the squad, I think they demonstrated why they are in the squad and why they're key members of the group. We're maybe another year or 2 years away from building something that could be very interesting. And obviously we won't go into some of the other things around that. We spoke about that on the podcast, but that's in the back of our minds, you know, is building a group of players who can go on and do fantastic stuff for the Isle of Man and represent the Isle of Man and hopefully turn out professional footballers from this island, because and a professional football team from this island, because we believe we've got the players to do it.
Well, just before we go, we talked about in the past how these games put the Isle of Man in the shop window. That's going to have done us an amazing amount of good. You know, going back, Brentford Beale said, well, we're given a great game by the Isle of Man. Why don't you go over and have a fixture?
I would hope so. I would really hope so. Brentford have come because they saw great value of getting up early in the morning, making the lads travel, having a day in a hotel in an unfamiliar environment, coming and playing against a group of players that they didn't know and maybe didn't see too much about us beforehand. They'll have got so much out of that, and I hope they can be advocates for us with other clubs that they play against in order to get us more games, and for us to have training ground doors open to us if we would not need to nip away for a game. Fingers crossed that kind of what happened. Hopefully, fingers crossed we're playing Connors Quay again before the Ireland Games, a decent performance there and a couple in the summer again, and then suddenly we're a team people want to play, like Brentford are. You know, they're a team that last week Liverpool needed to test the VAR system, so they got Brentford up to have a game against them because they knew it was going to be a good game. You know, so if we can get to that sort of place and have a regular competitive games programme for the players, then I think we're just scratching the surface of what could be possible for our 11, 12, 13-year-old footballers at the moment.
Well, Lars, you certainly conspired to give us an entertaining game there. Lots of goals, lots of chances in the rain. But how do you assess that performance from Brentford's point of view?
As you say, it was a great game. It might have been a good game to watch. All credit to Isle of Man, the way they attacked this game. And I know they have been very serious about it. And build up for many weeks, and direct the last couple of weeks have been direct against this match. We look forward to come here. So all credit to Isle of Man, the way they get into this game. And as I said to our own media right now, I'm really annoyed our team that we today concede a goal for fun, because that's what happened today.
And did anyone stand out for the Isle of Man for you? Because obviously our lads are obviously a lot of amateurs, but they've put in a great shift today. I was saying to our manager, I think that's one of the best performances we've ever produced.
I think I will also say the other way we created some really good chances. So the keeper in the first half and the keeper in the second half.
Yeah.
Kept Isle of Man into the game, because we could easily have scored 4 or 5 goals more. But I'll just praise the way Isle of Man came out and did it as a team. That was great. And we have played games like this in the Cup, in the Middlesex Cup, in the London Senior Cup, what we have played recently. So we should be used to it.
Yeah.
No, I think it was a fantastic team effort from Isle of Man.
And did the conditions affect the game at all? Obviously, it was absolutely hammering it down with the rain at some points. You mentioned the goalkeepers. It was never easy to be a goalkeeper in them conditions. But did that affect the way your team played today?
No, because I think we had a quick pitch. We want to play football, and I think we showed that in moments. Offensively, it's. Of course, I'm annoyed that we miss so big chances as we did today. But the way we build up, the way we break through, there's many good things. So it was more the defensive part today I'm annoyed about.
Well, Dave, the week's excitement started 7 days early with the Easter weekend and the Woods and FA Cup finals. Dave, I was at the Easter Friday, Good Friday, the Woods Cup on Friday as Paul Rose beat Ramsey 2-1. Fairly comfortable win for Paul Rose. I was a little bit disappointed with Ramsey. They struggled to string any passes together, and they didn't really show any of the form they have done up to that point.
Yeah, it's just a shame for them. But as you say, Paulie, they came from behind, didn't they, in that one?
Yeah, Matt Covalerga nodded Ramsey ahead, but then Pulley hit back fairly quickly. There was an impressive performance. Owen Canepa, I think, got man of the match in the end. He was up front. He looks good. Joe McGinn played well. James McGinn. And then Mark Priestnell just pulls the strings, doesn't he? I saw on Instagram this week, Steve Priestnell had said he'd raised a few eyebrows when he named himself on the bench.
He's done that a lot recently.
But it worked. He worked. His faith in his youngsters worked a treat. And they were deserving winners in the end. I say Ramsey will be ruined a little bit of a missed opportunity there, but I'm sure there's more to come from them. And they've still, both of these teams are still in this bun fight for promotion in JCK Division.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit further on. But I think Ramsey will bounce back.
Moving on, 24 hours, and Saturday was, of course, the FA Cup final between Peel and St Mary's. Smart money seems to have been on St Mary's heading into this, but I think if you rewind,
you were the only one that tipped Peel to win that, I think, weren't you?
Yeah, and of course, it did require extra time, but were they deserving winners in the end?
Yeah, I agree. I think they were. I put it in my report. I think Peel were the better side first half. I think it was a bit of a stop-start game. Mm-hmm. Quite a few fouls and not much momentum in the early quarters of the game, but Peel grew into it, had the better of the first half, took the lead through a great free kick from Sean Kelly. We know what he's capable of, that one with the left foot straight in the top corner. It was a great goal. Second half, St Mary's were the better side, but you know, there was obviously the main talking point was the two players got sent off, Josh Thomas and Sean Kelly. There was an altercation. Now Josh Thomas was one of the main creators for St Mary's, so in that sense it was a bit of a blow, but it didn't really affect the momentum of the game. St Mary's continued to push and push, and in the end they got the equaliser through Jordan Cooper in the 84th minute, and it was deserved at that point. And I think most of the spectators there would have thought that St Mary's would go on and win it at that point, but Peel regrouped, and in extra time they were great. And upstep Rhys Oates scored a wonderful free kick into the top corner. And that did it, basically. And then a couple of minutes later, Danny Bell got the third. And they were deserved winners in the end. So it was a tight game. But yeah, Peel were deserving.
Peel now on for the cup treble, of course, having won the Railway Cup back in December. A big game on Saturday, which we'll talk about in a minute, in the Hospital Cup. But yeah, it could be a hell of a season for the West Indies.
But it's nice to sort of see that we're not just talking about one team challenging for all these, isn't it? And you know, obviously St Mary's have got a chance to bounce back, but yeah, well done to Peel.
So we'll hear from Peel coach Colin Hardman now. You caught up with him after the match, didn't you? And we'll have a listen to what he had to say about the West and his extra time success now.
Colin, congratulations. FA Cup winners, how does that sound?
Brilliant. I think anybody who's here today saw the conditions were hot for both teams. Obviously, both teams went down to 10 men as well.
Yeah.
So the work rate from both sides, but you know, the lads dug in deep. You've got lads like Lacey heading for 40, and he's lasted extra time virtually. So
just doesn't stop running, does he?
No, he's a machine. The lad's a machine. Yeah. I think you saw Graham, all the spectators in the stand when he came off.
Great innovation for him. Definitely. Yeah. You know, we have to say, good first half. Peel doing well. Great free kick from Sean. St Mary's came back a bit in the second half, and they were pushing for that equaliser.
Yeah.
But when
when they got it with 7 minutes to go, it looked for all the world like the momentum was with them, but you guys just came out of renewed force in extra time, didn't you?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. St Mary's got on top, we were sitting deeper and deeper and we just couldn't quite get hold of the ball, so you felt as though the pressure was turning. But like we did against St George's on Boxing Day, the lads found something from somewhere else, and again, you know, there's two superb free kicks there that no keeper is going to do anything about, so
no,
you know, quality.
Absolutely, and each substitute played a big part as well, didn't they? Obviously Owen went off injured, Andy Ball came on and did really well, Max Hillicorn came on for Matty Woods, did really well, he just didn't stop running at all, did he? I think you've got that strength and depth which really shone through today, I think.
Yeah, I mean, today we you know, Dom McGreevy's away, Lee Gale's obviously injured, Andy Crennel's injured, Daniel Pickens suspended, but the lads that came in were superb, and as you say, the two goalkeepers have been fighting for that number one spot all year. We're very lucky to have two such good goalkeepers, so when Owen got injured, he'd been playing really well, you knew you had somebody with some experience to come in, and as you say, skill, he's always a threat with the ball when he's running at people.
Nearly scored a wonder goal as well.
He did, he told me before he went on, he was going to score one, so
great stuff. And obviously you buoyed on by the Peel Army, they were chatting throughout. I think one of the chants was, how many pints has Bella had? So I imagine there's going to be quite a few tonight.
I'd imagine so, yeah. We're going back into the clubhouse now, and again, you know, I think the thing that Peel have still got is that great spirit. You know, it's a community club. You saw lots of young kids that are playing, the juniors are down here today, so we'll put something back on at the clubhouse and everybody be welcome up there, so we'll have a couple of hours there.
Fantastic, congratulations, FA Cup win number 32.
Excellent, thank you very
much. Not too bad, isn't it, mate?
Sounds great, yeah.
Enjoy your night, mate. Enjoy. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, he paid special tribute there to Danny Lace, the legend that is.
The machine, I think you put in your headline.
Yes, and fair play to Lacey. You know, he's 40 years old now. Thanks to Colin Moore for this stat. That win was his fourth FA Cup win, and it came 20 years after his first one when they beat Russian 3-0 in 1999. Wow. So well done to Lacey. And he ran for about 115 minutes of that game. He just didn't stop at all. He had a hand in a couple of the goals. When he came off, he got a great reception. So yeah. Well done to Lacey.
Yeah, the evergreen Daniel Lacey. Doesn't look like slowing down anytime soon, does he?
No.
Well, he won't be wanting to slow down on Saturday, will he, Dave? Because if we look ahead to Saturday's fixtures, starting off with Keystone Low Hospital Cup quarterfinals, Peel versus St Mary's, Groundhog Day. Where do you see this one going?
Well, it's an interesting one. Obviously, this one's at Douglas Road, so Peel have the home advantage in this, and obviously we'll go into it confident. I think St Mary's have to bounce back. They'll be fit and fighting for this one, although you did say Josh Thomas is not here now, is he?
Yeah, I think I believe he's moved to Dubai, if Instagram is anything to believe.
Yeah.
Peel will be sweating on the fitness of Woodsy, of course. Lee Gale's still out. And then I think Daniel Bell was in the squad for the Isle of Man on Wednesday, but didn't actually get on. I don't know if that was a precautionary move ahead of Saturday. So,
yeah,
you know, they are nursing a few knocks. But for the other team, St Mary's, Alex Harrison came off for the Isle of Man on Wednesday. He was replaced by Alex Maitland. So, yeah, St Mary's will have their own trials and tribulations, as the same as Peel.
Yeah, they certainly will. I'll just quickly go back to the FA Cup final. Matty Woods went off just before half time, which was a blow to them. But Matty Silicorn came on. It was good to see him back, and he had a great second half. Nearly scored a wonder goal in extra time as well. So he's a big plus for them. So it'll be interesting to see if he starts, if Matty doesn't recover in time.
Owen went off as well, didn't he? Owen Dawson.
Yeah.
I saw that friendly tweet from Andy Ball.
When I tweeted that it was a blow to Peel. But I credit to Baller, to be honest. He was a calming influence. I think he just settled a few nerves at the back, and he had a good game when he came on. So well done to him. But yeah, I don't know whether Owen will be back. It was a bit of a collision, so one of those. I don't think it was anything too serious. So fingers crossed he's okay.
I suppose Peel are one of the few clubs in that respect where they have got two pretty much first choice goalkeepers.
Well, again, we heard that from Hardman in that interview. Yeah, he talks about them both. It's great for them that they've got that choice. So either way, whoever plays, you know, you've got a good goalie there. So St Mary's, I don't know, they're going to be fighting for this one. And obviously they'll have one eye on Tuesday or Wednesday. They've got the potential title decider.
Yeah.
But also Peel have got Geordies as well, so the big games come thick and fast. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the teams line up in this one.
Yeah, I just think the St Mary's may just edge this and nick this one. I think they'll be stung after last week's game, and they'll be wanting to They're still on for the double, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Peel are off for the treble. It's all to play for. Should be a cracking game. Eric's down there doing the report for us this week. But yeah, I'm going to go for St Mary's.
I think it wouldn't surprise me if extra time was needed again for this one. I think Peel will just edge this one again, you know.
There's some cracking quarterfinals this weekend, not least at the Ballaclone where Ramsey take on Duxascore. Boys, we say Ramsey were a bit lackluster against Paul Rose. I think Anthony Cooper will have been looking for a better performance than they gave last week. But they take on Old Boys team that are the dictionary definition of inconsistent this week, don't they?
They certainly are. I watched Old Boys a few weeks ago against Pulley. They made hard work of it, but they came through in the end. You know, they will probably just about start as favourites, Old Boys. But Ramsey, they'll see this as a great test of their potential Premier League credentials, really. And I think they'll be fired up. Well, they bounce back to winning ways in midweek. We'll talk about that in a sec. But yeah, I think home advantage, I reckon they might just pull off the upset here, you know?
I think you could be right. It's a young squad at Ramsey. And they've got some good players. That Wael Mohamed impressed me in midfield last week. But then on the other side, that Robbie Collister, the Daniel Lace of Ramsey in many respects. Yeah. He's a great player at left back. Ryan Williamson looked good when he came on. The evergreen Ryan Williamson.
Yeah, still going strong.
And then, of course, Andy Perry. You know, there's not many better goalkeepers at that level than him. Old Boys, you just don't know. They are so hard to predict, aren't they?
They are. I mean, you know, we saw them, they had that couple of good results against, they had the good result against St Mary's. And you just sort of think, well, you know, they're going to kick on. And then it's sort of, you know, two steps back almost. So I don't know. I mean, when we had Liam in, he talked about, you know, player availability is the big issue for them. So I just don't know what their team's looking like. It'll be close. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if it was extra time, but I'm just going to go for Ramsey in this one.
Well, I'll be at that game. So if you follow at Manx Footy Pod on Twitter, the Twitter updates throughout, even if it is 190 minutes, I'll be there to the death. So, please do follow us.
190 minutes? Wow.
190 minutes? That's too much. What was it? 120 minutes?
That's impressive. That's a long penalty shootout. Yeah.
Well, that's a new thing they're trialling ahead of Simbins next year. 190 minutes. Another team looking to, Division 2 team looking to cause a shock is Moran. They take on near neighbours Foxdale at Crosby. Dave, the game you're going to. Maybe a monkey brains will clear your chest.
It might do, yeah. I certainly need it, yeah. I'll have to speak to Dave Brew and get something sorted. But yeah, I see this one being a good game. I think I've not seen Foxdale play this year. So, they drew with Malou in midweek. They've been a little bit inconsistent of late. Around, you have to say they've had a great season in the end.
They've comfortably
stayed up in the Premier League. And you mentioned going back to the Brentford game. Ashley Higginbotham.
He came on second half for Davies and didn't look out of place. He just worked his socks off. hopefully he'll take that confidence into this game. Moran haven't played for a few weeks. That's the only thing that may be slightly ring rusty. They obviously played last week, didn't they? The week before Easter when they beat Youth after extra time.
Yeah.
Again, this one could need the additional 30, couldn't it?
It could. You just never know in these sort of games. I mean, form does go out the window. Moran, if they haven't played as many games, it is difficult for them to just sort of keep that focus a little bit. But I think they'll get through this one.
I'm going to go with the old hometown club and go Foxdale to win this one.
You're still waiting for that flatbed.
Yeah, which could potentially, if my two picks, Ramsey and Foxdale, do go through, be two Division 2 teams in the semi-finals, which would be great.
Fantastic, isn't it? Yeah.
The other remaining quarter-finals, East Douglas Athletic welcomes St George's to Springfield Road. Now, to me, Dave, this looks an away win all day, but can the Pinks take anything out of this?
They possibly could, yeah. I mean, it's obviously on their pitch. It's a tight pitch down there. It plays to their strengths. I don't know how their squad is shaping up. But Geordie's, last time they met, I think it was a fairly comfortable win, wasn't it?
So Geordie's beaten 12-0.
Yeah, so
I think that was at Glen Country, though.
Yeah.
It was 4-1 in the league equivalent of this game.
Yeah. I think the big issue for Dafko at the moment is obviously the goalkeeper situation with Matty Quirk still.
Yeah.
Is still injured. You were impressed with Sam Spooner.
Sam, to be fair to him, he's a hockey goalkeeper and he pulled off a couple of good saves, but I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, he's not a football goalkeeper. Yeah. In all round ability, you know, he's his distribution and stuff is.
He's a Man United fan, so we can't expect much from him. So, you know.
But it'll be interesting to see they played. Obviously, James Eyre went in goal for the penalty shoot I saw, so they've got options.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And I
never know, they might put Wolfie in goal again.
Or Wolfie or Lille has probably been playing for. Yeah. Mark Lilleman has been playing in goal for the Combi, so there's options there. But yeah, I think you're right, that could be the key. And whoever is donning that keeper's jersey is going to have a busy afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I think in the end, I think Dafko will give him a bit of a fight, but Geordie should win this.
Yeah. Three games in Division 2 on Saturday as well, all kick off at 2:30. We should point out all the cup games kick off at 2 p.m. So slightly late, 2:30 kickoffs for these three matches in Division 2. Division 2 promotion race is just...
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? We should touch on the results. There was some big games in midweek, weren't there, on Tuesday night. We had Colby versus Pulley. Pulley came out on top 3-0, thanks to a brace from Mark Priestnell and one from
potential
Steve.
Potential banana skin avoided there.
It was, yeah. Colby are obviously one of the form teams. There was a bit of a shock in the north, though. United, they edged past rivals Youthy 3-2. So that's a massive blow to Youthy. They were sitting pretty at the top with that. Now they've only got one game left, and there's... You know, this is it basically this weekend, and then they're going to have to play the waiting game. Elsewhere, Millwall and Foxdale drew 3-3, and then as we mentioned, Ramsey beat Onken 3-1. So it's all makes for very interesting reading, doesn't it?
Well, we'll kick off with that game, Ramsey Youth Centre versus Colby. Youth's last game of the season, they need to win really just to keep their heads above that dotted line, don't they?
They certainly do. So Pulley and Youth are level at the top, 51 points. Pulley, you've got two games left. Youth, you've got that one. But obviously, Pulley's goal difference is pretty superior. And then you've got Malou with two games left. They've got 48 points. And then a further point back of Ramsey. They've got a game in hand on them. And then a bit further back of Foxdale, who I think are a bit out of the race now.
But they've got more games in hand.
They have. They've got four games left. And obviously, if they win all of them, then they're mathematically, yes, they could still finish top or in the promotion places. But who knows? It's always better to have the points on the board, isn't it? But it's a difficult one. So, yeah. Well, Youthy Colby. I mean, Colby is a very tough side to go against. Youthy will be desperate to bounce back. It's going to be close to this one. I think Youth will just about edge it, and as you say, they have to basically. It's do or die.
I think Youth will be disappointed with the way they lost on Wednesday. They would 2-0 up against there, and then to lose 3-2 is always going to be a bit of a kick in the crotch, as it were. So it'd be interesting to see how quickly they get that result out of the system, and they need to do that because Colby, as you say, are a decent outfit. They've been probably the team in this half of the season in many respects. That's a rare defeat for them against Pulley on Wednesday. I think this will be a draw, which I don't think will help Youthy at all, to be honest.
No, I agree. If it does end that way, I think that's it. I mean, you never know how other results will go, obviously, but they need a win in this one. I think they might just edge it, but it's going to be close.
With all these teams, quite a lot of them have got to play each other again, which is just adds to the intrigue of this promotion race. If you look at Agent Machine on Twitter, he's got a thread going on this at the moment, and you can't seem to get any clarity. You can't think, right, well, that's Pulley going up now.
Yeah.
It's not that simple, is it?
Best league in Europe.
I think it will be coming a little bit clearer about 5 o'clock on Saturday, because Paul Rose United take on Malou. Paul Rose win that, that's them. Pretty much
over host,
they've got promotion then. That's in the bag, and they can sort of concentrate on seeing off the league title after that, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. And they will go into this as favourites. Malou are a great side, and they've improved massively this year, and they've proven that they've got the staying power this year. Where in previous years, they've started well, looked like they were going to, and then they faded away, whereas this time, they're right up there with three games to go, with two games to go, sorry, which is great to see. But with the Priestnells, I know we say it every week, I just can't look past Pulley.
No.
It will be close, but I think the Reds will edge this one.
I agree with you. I think that Woods Cup win on Saturday, so on Friday, sorry, will have given them such a timely boost towards the end of the season, and it's probably got them hungry for more. Now, they could conceivably do the second tier treble with the Division 2 title and the Paul Henry Gold Cup still to come.
Still to come, yeah.
Lou, I just hope Kyle Alexander's done a really good job there, that they don't, if it doesn't quite happen this season, they're not disheartened and they can keep that squad together, because they've got a good squad team, and something to build on for next year, definitely.
Yeah, and obviously the addition of Johnny Holland's been a big plus for them as well, and he scored the other night.
I think he scored the equaliser because they were 3-1 down against Foxdale. So
well done to him. So it'll be close, but yeah, I think.
The pulley. Or we could just say the Reds will win.
The Reds, yeah, either way.
The final game of JCK Division 2 on Saturday is a bit of a mopping up process. It's Union Mill versus Ayr. And I think if Davey looks at the table, I think that's Miller's last game of the season, isn't it?
It certainly is. They can only move up one place. Although with teams below them having games in hand, they could still drop a couple of places. So, yeah, they'll be eager to end on a high. But United, that win the other night, I think it's... full of confidence. We've obviously talked them up a little bit in recent weeks since they boosted their squad. And they're doing great. And I think that result on Tuesday is going to give them massive confidence going forward. And they'll hope to end the season on a high so that they can challenge maybe next year.
Tangerines, I think, have still got five to play, haven't they?
They certainly have. And they're one of the teams that could leapfrog Mills with a win. It's a little bit of a bun fight in mid-table as well, which is good to see. But yeah, I think Ayr will probably just about win this one.
I think there'll be goals in it.
Definitely goals.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a game on Saturday and nothing else has tickled your fancies, I'm pretty sure that one would be a good one for the neutral.
If you don't mind a bit of wind as well.
Yeah, because the forecast. Oh no, I won't spoil Dave Reed's weather, but the forecast.
One of these days it's going to be Andy Reed's the weather.
Right, Combi Corner.
Yes, Combi Corner. So it's... obviously, there was no league games last weekend with the two cup finals, so we're just going to basically look ahead to this weekend, and it's obviously the Junior Cup.
Quarter finals.
Yeah, and there's some good games now.
Sunday, of course, for this one.
There is, yes. Three of them kick off at 2 o'clock, one is at 2:15. This is going to be the main game, I think. St Mary's obviously won the Combi 1 title last week. They did it with a narrow win at Old Boys, and this week they host Old Boys at the Bowl, 2:15 kickoff. St Mary's have had to do it the hard way in the cup this year, haven't they? They've already had to play Peel and Rushen. And obviously they've still got Corinthians in the competition and Geordie, so there's certainly a potential for a big match in the semis as well. But yeah, I think St Mary's will go into this as favourites. It was a very close game at Blackbury Lane last week. Obviously, Old Boys ended the game with 9 men, but that was quite late on. So, we don't know how much of an impact it had on the result, but it should be close. And I think St Mary's will just be a bit too strong.
Yeah, Old Boys, of course, holders of this competition, I think.
They are.
My memory serves correct. So they'll want to try and continue their defence. This is going to be a close game, 2:15. I think we talked about it with most of these knockout ties this weekend. It could require the extra 30 minutes, couldn't it? The other three ties, though, it's the second tier. The Combi 2
is
flying the flag, aren't they?
Yeah, you've mentioned this in your preview for this, and it's great to see. I think three Combi 2 sides have done really well to get through to the last eight. I think all our eyes will be on Onken. You know, the newly crowned Combi 2 champions, they want to test their mettle against the Combi 1 side, but they certainly got the hard draw here, so they're going to travel to Geordie's. This is going to be tough, and as you've mentioned, the youngsters at Glencrutchy Road are in great form. They've only one defeat in their last 9 games, so they're flying at the moment. Home advantage again, so I think Geordie's will win, but you never know with Onken do tend to score quite a lot of goals. You know, they've got the likes of Joe Reese and that, so yeah, it should be quite an entertaining match, I think, but Geordie should win.
Another team in Combi 2 trying to pull off a shock are Union Mills. They travel to Laxey. Laxey have seemed to have picked up form like St George's at the tail end of the season in Combi 1.
They have, haven't they? And I think that's almost been mirrored with their first team as well, hasn't it? And, you know, they do say success breeds success, and it builds the confidence, doesn't it? But, yeah, I think Mills have got a better chance of pulling off a shock than Onken. Laxey, a bit inconsistent. But yeah, that run of form, that should just about see them through this one. I think the Miners will win.
The Millers narrowly missed out on second place at Combi 2 in the midweek with a big 11-3 win. They were actually only 3 goals. They hadn't conceded. I think they would have pipped Ramsey to the second Combi 2.
They would have, yes.
On goal difference.
They would have, yeah. Ramsey ended on a plus 52 goal difference and Union Millers on plus 49. So they are a very free scoring team, Mills.
The beast, Lee Christian, seems to still be knocking them in for fun up there. Kyle Urin, I saw, was among the scorers in the week. He's obviously played first team this season. So
leading the way, though, was Ryan Kelly. He got 5 of those goals. So he's...
be interesting. I don't know if he'll qualify for the Junior Cup. I think you would think he'd played too many first team games.
Probably has, but you never know, do you? Yeah. So, but I think it'll be a good game. There should be goals in it. I mean, there nearly always is in combi football. I hope I haven't just put the kibosh on it and it's going to be a 0-0, but an extra time. But yeah, no, should be goals, but Laxey should triumph.
Final quarter-final tie in the Junior Cup this weekend, on Sunday, of course, at 2 o'clock, sees Douglas and District welcome Corinthians to their old home at Nobles Park.
Yeah, tough battle, tough draw this for D&D. They've had a great season. We've highlighted it many times. The likes of Mark Quirk's been banging the goals in for fun. He set a new combi record, didn't he, this year? They'll be full of confidence, but they would have been hoping for a nicer draw, I think. But on the home pitch, they'll cause Corinthians a few problems, but Corinthians are one of the highest scorers, and I think they'll just be too strong, to be honest.
Corinthians seems to me, like St. George's, who said they've finished the season strongly, Corinthians maybe their form at the start of the season hasn't been replicated at the tail end of the year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. They went through quite a sticky patch, but they have bounced back in recent weeks. They've sort of found their goal, their scoring touch again. So, you know, they've got some great players in there, and I think they'll just be a bit too strong for this one. But D&D, wow, they're our favourite team, aren't they?
They can dream.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking out the window, Dave, and I think the meteorological term is lashing. As in, it's lashing it down.
It is. It's not you going out in the lash. No.
Dave reads the weather.
Yeah, well, it is a bit of a mixed bag. Obviously, we spoiled rotten last weekend. But yeah, so we had the rain came in last night and obviously this morning, but it's meant to brighten up later today, and it doesn't look like it right now, but it's meant to. But unfortunately, it's going to be heavy rain tonight, which is going to continue overnight. So obviously, that's going to saturate the pitches even more. Saturday, it starts wet, but it will dry by the afternoon with a few sunny spells. And then on Sunday, obviously, for the Junior Cup, it'll be dry, but with rain in the evening. So it is a bit of a mixed bag. Just don't know how the pitchers are holding up after last week, but they probably needed a bit of water.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're actually at that point where they needed a bit of water now. Whether this is too much water, only the gardeners amongst us will be able to tell us. But I do think we should be, I'm touching wood, but we should be fine.
We should be okay, fingers crossed. If we get any postponements, it'll be just maybe one or two, but I think we should be okay.
Of course, you can keep abreast of the breaking postponements on our Twitter feed at Manx Footy Pod, and we will let you know of any we hear of in that on the Saturday morning. Right, Dave, I think that's about it for this week's abridged version.
I'm very disappointed there weren't any biscuits. I'm clearly not a good enough guest for you. I mean, I know all of our guests are...
split them all up again.
Oh, yeah, true. I'd have coughed them all over you, sorry, mate. But yeah. I feel a bit offended by that.
Well, I will try best. Try harder next time. Remember, you can listen to all our back catalogue, which numbers over 80 now, at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. Of course, they are all on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer and Google Podcasts. Until next week.
Bye for now.